the internet, and welcome to a special bonus episode of the Cracked Podcast, brought to you by the good people at True TV and their amazing show, Those Who Can't. We're going to be talking to two members of the amazing cast. Andrew Orvidal, one of the three members of the comedy troupe, The Grawlicks, who write and star in Those Who Can't. And Maria Thayer, the beautiful redheaded woman from Those Who Can't and basically every great comedy ever. Those two, Soren, Dan, and I are going to talk to three brave anonymous teachers about what that profession is actually like. And you'll be surprised at the answers, unless you're a teacher yourself, in which case, bottoms up, drunkie. Teachers in general get a bad rap, and this show you're about to hear is not helping. But I do think bad teachers, or the traditional definition of bad teachers, are sometimes the coolest ones, or the ones that teach you the most lasting lessons. One of my most influential teachers was, I think, day drinking on most days. He had this Coke can that he always had with him, just taking these tiny little sips. Still remember this one thing he told us. The only reason weed is illegal and alcohol is legal is you can grow some mean weed with a grow lamp and a closet, but bathtub gin tastes like shit. It was the first time I'd heard the words grow lamp in my life, and either way, I got the sense that he was basically speaking from experience in both cases. Anyways, it's a really fun conversation you're about to hear that I won't waste any more of your time getting to. Thanks again to season two of Those Who Can't, which is an amazing show. It's sort of like It's Always Sunny if that group of friends were funny high school teachers, and not funny in the way that all my science teachers were funny, like they'd never spoken to another human being before the bell rang. Anyways, you can watch Those Who Can't on Thursday nights at 10:30. But first, as an amuse-bouche, if you will, and I hope you will, here is our podcast with the cast of True TV's Those Who Can't.
What's up, guys? Thanks for coming out. Welcome to this live episode of the Cracked Podcast, brought to you by season two of Those Who Can't. On True TV, which is a hilarious show that you should be watching. It's on 10:30s on Thursdays, and it's super funny. I would describe it as like a live action Simpsons set in your high school. So joining me on stage, he is a senior editor at Cracked, I think. I don't know what his title is. And a very funny writer whose writing you can find on our site and the microblogging site twitter.com. Please welcome Cracked's resident heartthrob, Soren Bowie. Bowie. Like a ghost trying to scare E from Entourage is how I remember how to pronounce that. And next to him, he's the head of Crack Video and the caboose of the party train. Please welcome Mr. Daniel O'Brien. Now, Daniel, I'm told we're not related. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are cool. Absolutely not related.
You might notice two suspiciously respectable-looking people to my right up here on stage with us. I'm going to start with Andrew. He is one-third of the comedy trio that created and stars in Those Who Can't. His hilarious comedy album, which I listened to today, is called Hit the Dick Lights. Please welcome Andrew Orvidal.
Thank you, thank you.
And she plays Abby on Those Who Can't and has appeared in Strangers with Candy, Arrested Development, Portlandia, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Eagle Heart, just all of my favorite comedy things of the past 10 years. No big deal. I'm not freaking out. Please welcome Maria Thayer. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us here.
Take down these teachers.
Yeah.
America's most overrated, overpaid profession. No, it's a wonderful profession, and we're going to have some anonymous teachers come up and kind of confirm or deny some of the darker suspicions that we have about their profession based on our time in high school and elementary school, I guess. But first, I wanted to kind of get you guys' thoughts on just things that you always suspected about your teachers. Like, I always suspected English teachers liked to smoke pot just based on all the English teachers I had, and history teachers liked to drink because they were always the ones who would show movies for a whole day. So I assumed they were just like super hungover. I always assumed science teachers were aliens just based on them being the weirdest human beings that I had ever met.
I like thinking of Jack's classes as a kid where the teacher for history just shows up and is like, I've got VHS of Hunt for Red October or Birth of a Nation. Which do you guys want to watch?
I like that you brought three teachers to our podcast to find out if your theory that science teachers are aliens is true or not.
It's a very roundabout way of getting to the bottom of that. Do you guys have you done any thinking about teachers as somebody who's writing and playing a teacher or teachers?
All my teachers in real life were pretty boring. Like, I did have a history teacher who had like a red nose that now I know. I'm like, oh, that dude was like hardcore drinking every night. Like, just gin from the bottle, like right. A Gatorade. But other than that, yeah, they were pretty dull. There was a teacher who, this isn't funny, but I mean, we're talking about poor behavior. There was a teacher who started like a nonprofit helping like runaway teens, and then they found out he was like sleeping with some of the teens.
Ooh.
Like, that's okay, horrible.
So that's actually something I want to talk about because anytime I talk to a woman, they're always like, oh yeah, I knew like a teacher who was sleeping with a student or two.
Yeah, a teacher got fired at my school for sleeping with a student, and then also my drama teacher, who I was very naive, so I never thought that anyone ever did anything wrong. I still sort of think that, but I really, in high school, I really didn't think it. But I remember outside of the theater, this girl who was the lead in all the plays, even though I ended up being the actress.
Your face,
but you're not mad about it, at least. It's not fueling you to this very day.
Anyway.
She just puts a hyperlink to your IMDb on her Facebook every month.
Anyway, outside of the theater, he had gloves on, and I always suspected something was going on, and she bit them off like a sexy movie or something. Like,
that's
know what
not
I mean?
A sexy movie.
Yeah.
That is, no, it would happen in a sexy movie.
Biting off of somebody's gloves?
Just like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's a sexy
yeah,
move.
That happens in
is
Cape
that, am
Fear,
I making that
I
up?
Think. Okay. There wasn't there like
no. Very sexy movie, Cape
right.
Fear.
That scene is super hot.
So he was wearing the gloves and she was biting them
yeah,
off of his
hands.
Yeah,
and she was like 16.
Were they like
he
gardening
was
gloves?
40.
Yeah, what kind of gloves?
They were like
just filthy gardening gloves. Just chunks of soil in between the...
Don't you think that's a sign?
Yeah.
I feel like if I yeah. saw that...
No, I would...
I think as an adult, you should have been like, oh, these are my hands. Get
right.
your mouth off of them.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
troubling.
I feel like we're going to pull these teachers up here and they're going to say, yeah, the glove thing didn't do that. No. We don't do that at my school.
How about you, Soren?
Yeah,
you went to a weird high school.
I went to a really weird high school. Just to preface this, I went to an outdoor-oriented high school where we like birthed...
What state?
Colorado.
Yeah.
Where we like birthed cattle and stuff like that. But our cafeteria was called the Bar Fork because it was all ranch-themed. And the janitor there once pulled me aside and I'd just been sitting there with my girlfriend. She left to go to class and the janitor pulled me aside and the janitor was a woman and she said, that girl's no good for you. I was like, okay. And so I have always had this deep suspicion that teachers care a lot about the lives of the students, that they're just as infested as the students are in who's dating who and when they break up. Because then this same girlfriend, after we did break up, my rock climbing coach,
weird,
said, she's really devastated. You really let a good one get away. Are you sure you want to do this? And like tried to talk me back into to being with my ex-girlfriend. And so I just assumed the teachers were all like, yeah, we care just as much about the students' lives as you do. Oh my God, those two broke up? Oh, thank God, maybe Kate will finally get with Jonathan.
So it's like fantasy sports for them?
Yeah,
like
it's all a vicarious experience for teachers. And they must know. I mean, they must see the stuff that's happening in class, and even though they pretend not to care that these students have these public displays of affection and everything, but I think they must know who's with who, and they must talk about it, because no janitor pulls a kid aside and is like, get a different girlfriend.
Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah, I think I've heard that, though, like from adult teachers. I'm looking forward to fact-checking that one. Dan, how about you?
This is a weird thing to glaze over, but the topic is in the air. We lost like 4 teachers to having sex with students in my high school. I also went to a very weird place.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer. I say lost like we miss them. We don't. They're bad. It is the official stance of Crack that that's a bad thing to do.
That is a very bad thing.
But it was just one of those things that kept happening in our school for whatever reason. But the on-topic thing, the suspicion that I have about teachers actually already confirmed for me. My mother was a middle school nurse. And I went to Chili's with my mom and a bunch of her teacher friends. You know how you don't have friends when you're in high school, and so you hang out with your mom and the music teacher at a different school? So I did that, and I sat down at Chili's to get some chips and some corn dogs and some Southwestern vegetable soup. Again, this podcast is sponsored by True TV, those who can. And as soon as we sit down and all these teachers and their little boy child friend is around, all the teachers immediately, one margarita, and they're like, did you see fucking Bobby Simmons today? I hate Bobby Simmons. And all of them, I knew it. I always knew that all the teachers go to the teacher's lounge and they have kids that they just hate. I could have given him an A, but I gave him a D, because why not? Because I'm an adult
Bobby
and you
Simmons.
Can't question me. And I'm just sitting there watching them like openly hate and root against students in their school. And I'm like, ha, I knew it.
It's that moment in Donnie Darko when Drew Barrymore and ER Doctor are in the teacher's lounge and they're both like, Donnie Darko.
Soren rolled his eyes. This is a audio medium, Soren.
But the question that I'm eventually going to have for our teachers, and I'm sure they'll lie to me, is are you ever like excited when a kid that you hate fails? When there's someone that you know didn't put in the work, not because like I hate this kid because he smells like peppers or whatever, but you know he's a jerk or she's a jerk and didn't put in the work, and then they fail a test, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to tell them.
Can't wait to see the look on that little fucker.
I have a question.
Thank you for raising your hand.
Yeah. It's on theme.
Of the 4 teachers that were expelled for...
It's imprisoned, actually, but go on.
Expelled from regular life.
Were they all male teachers?
1 female.
Ooh.
Ooh, how progressive.
All right, any suspicions you guys want to throw out there before we bring our teachers up?
It's sort of related, I guess, to teachers sleeping with students, but I have a friend who's a teacher, and she said that whenever they have like the teacher retreats, shit like that, it's just like a hookup fest. All these teachers are like hooking up with each other. I can't imagine any 2 of my teachers ever hooking up, and so I'd be curious how accurate that is, or if she just goes to a thirsty school.
Yeah.
Our teachers are just over there on the couch just making out. So that's
all right, let's bring up our completely anonymous teachers whose faces are very blurry when you watch this on video. Come on up, guys. Our very brave teachers. We're going to be using Reservoir Dogs aliases because they're going to be very easy for me to remember. So you will be Mr. Blue, you will be Mrs. Blonde, and you will be Mrs. Brown. See?
For those listeners at home, these names are coming from the first gentleman has a single blue tooth that just hangs from his mouth. It's just a giant, very long, right. Not at all wide tooth. So just follow that trend, and that's where the names came from.
So did anything ring true to you guys? You guys obviously sleep with your students, right? No. Are there like general cliques? Like are history teachers all drinking on the job? Or is that just my history teacher?
I think all teachers are drinking on the job. They should be.
Nice.
No, not on the job, but actually sometimes if I know that I'm showing a movie the next day, I'm like, sweet.
That's right.
the movie the next
Thursday,
day.
That means Wednesday night.
Oh, so the movie spawns the drinking, not the other way around.
It, like, I always thought, oh, well, now we're on this unit, and in this unit is this movie, so that means, all right, Wednesday night.
I never thought of it that
Taco
way.
Taco Tuesdays. By the way, can I tell a story about when I was a student, about a teacher who was sleeping with another student?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, those doors are open.
So as a teacher, we'd have one teacher who has been removed, credential revoked, for sleeping with a student. But when I was a student in high school, we had a teacher who was sleeping with a student and was a friend of ours, and he had given her a joint that my friends and I all smoked. And so when this came out that, you know, this teacher has been sleeping with a student, and she, when she went to the police, she told him everything. So then I remember they, like, came and interviewed me and my sister and a friend, and they were like, and the police officer kept saying, "Did you smoke the doobie? Did you smoke the doobie?" And I was just like, it's not the 70s. Like, I guess I smoked a doobie, but yeah, so they settled that out of court. I don't believe he went to jail, but cool. I've been like on both ends of that.
Just for some context, backstage, Mrs. Brown, we were like deciding which Reservoir Dog character everyone would be, and she was like, "As long as I'm not the narc." So she's a pretty cool chick.
But you know what he asked? He said, "Did you guys smoke?" But he already knew we did, because she had like confessed.
Right, he's a cartoon cop from the 70s and wanted to try out his slang. It's fine.
The cop, he had seen so many cases of teachers sleeping with students he was old hat at that. He wanted to know which kids were smoking drugs.
As far as teachers drinking on the job, not on the job, around the job, I can guarantee that the elementary school teachers do. If you're dealing with the intentionally peeing and throwing up every day, then you got to do something to get through that. So I certainly, as a former elementary school teacher, can attest to that.
Oh, yeah. Which grade or grade range drinks the most?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you, Jack.
We're real journalists, you guys. We get to the bottom of things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've taught about 4 different grade levels at this point. And I would say when I was in the lower elementary school range, that's when I was like, every night, don't remember any of it. Do not remember that first year of second grade at all.
That makes a lot of sense, though, because it's such a cakewalk every night. You don't have to, like, relearn trig just to teach it. Yeah. You just get to go out there every night and be like, what are we working on tomorrow? We're going to be reading the K. It's fine.
Right. I want to be clear that I'm not a legitimate teacher.
Did you just con your way onto this stage?
I don't know why.
We
I'm
just
here.
Got 21 Jump Streeted.
No. Before he tells you about hooking up with the student.
I work in an after-school program. It's a private, you know, affair, so that means I don't have any credential or anything.
Okay.
I'm just here.
Okay, Adam, would you unblur his face, please?
But yeah, I mean, I work an after-school position, which means we start at 12, which means I drink every day, and I haven't stopped since I started working there, which is 9 years ago, so.
Your disclaimer makes more sense now.
Yeah.
We did a pre-interview. I want to get to the part where you were living at school for, like, I always assumed that my teachers stopped existing outside of our school building, like outside of the classroom. They just dissolved and then reappeared the next morning when I showed up for class. But you literally never left the classroom for a certain period.
So can I expand a little? Okay, so this is a private school that's owned by my now ex-girlfriend's mother, who I still see every day. She's great. She's wonderful. But they had like this weird work ethic where they're like, you know, it's been my fantasy, you know, I wish I could just live here so that I could just, you know, get to work and you just focus on my work and do that. And like that was their attitude. And then I was homeless for a second. Just for a second. And then they're like, why don't you just live at the school you work at? We have an extra classroom. And then I moved into the extra classroom, and it sucked.
So it was
the person who ran the school knew you were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't. That's cool. You weren't just like
squatters, right?
What'd you sleep on?
I slept on a futon. I put a couch in there, a mini fridge.
Whoa.
I was drinking a lot of Red Stripes at that time for some reason.
Jamaican.
Yeah, I mean, but we kept it in that room. And then it was mostly fine because, you know, it's an after-school program, so you can get up and, like, you know, be ready before the kids get there. But during the summer, we become a full-day operation, so it was kind of like, oh, when can I exit this classroom?
You know? I'm going to say if seasons are changing, you've stretched homeless for a second to the breaking point.
Wait, what did you say?
How long were you living in the school?
Like 4 to 6 months or something.
A second.
Yeah. Yeah. On my driver's license, the address is still the school's address.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
The San Gabriel Valley has cheaper insurance. I kept the address.
That's not crazy. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I didn't have a house yet, and I was sort of living out of my Toyota Camry. And when I would audition, the address on my headshot said my license plate number and then Camry Place.
That's great.
So I'm with you. I feel you. That's
good. Did the kids ever, like, show up early and, like, find you, like, in bathrobe brushing your teeth or...
No, that never happened. But I feel like everybody must have felt a little weird, right? Because, like, you...
No, yeah. The audience is laughing because of how normal that was.
You can tell, like, when someone's sleepy, you know? Like, when they walk out of a room and they're sleepy. That's a specific thing.
And, like, the smell of sleep wafts out of the room.
Yeah. So, I mean, I tried to be composed and... I feel like someone must have known, though.
That is one thing that I never suspected about my teachers. That was not one of my suspicions. What about the suspicion that you guys will alter the grades of a really shitty kid if he, like, deserves it?
Or just be excited when they fail.
Fail? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what would they do to... Can you give us any examples of, like, what a child did to...
Going back to my elementary school days, I had a student when I was teaching second grade who she and I just did not click, and she really disliked me, and as much as I tried to love all of my students, I just couldn't love her. She figured out that she could pee her pants to really piss me off. And it worked. She would pee her pants, and I would send her to the front office to get some new pants. I would get to clean up her chair, and it was a really horrible relationship for a long time there. And then finally one day, she peed her pants, and I saw she, like, had this look on her face when she was peeing her pants. So I saw it coming. She, like, snarkily raised her hand and was like, "I peed my pants."
Oh, she was doing it to spite you, specifically.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, she was spiting me. Yeah, so I was like, you know what? I'm putting my foot down. This is it. So I was like, you know what? You're going to sit in your pee pants for the rest of the day. And, like, everyone turned around and just looked at her. And I was like, I'm doing this to a second grader. We're going for it. Like, and from then on, not only did she sat in her pee pants for the rest of the day, and then her grades were a little bit lower from then on. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if, you know, she...
Wait, making her sit in the pee pants wasn't the punishment? The grades were the punishment?
They've got to learn.
It's a layered punishment. It's an onion punishment.
Now, how subjective are the grades in second grade? Like, are you like, that's not really spelled right? Like, is there wiggle room there? You're just like...
There's some wiggle room. I would get, like, girls spelling their name with, like, exclamation point, star, smiley face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's your name, right? But yeah, so it was subjective, but, you know...
Right. Have you ever fudged anyone's grades positively because you liked them and you wanted to encourage them?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's your entire childhood, I think, Dan.
Me?
Yeah. I think Dan, to swing the door open on Dan's life, maybe in a way that he doesn't want me to. Dan had a teacher when he was a kid. Dan was occasionally disruptive because he liked to tell jokes. And a teacher pulled him aside and was like, Dan,
I know that you're the most popular kid in my class, and I need you to help me. So at any point when the class is out of control, I'm going to give you a signal, and you just get them back in line. And Dan, having that kind of power, was excited and like, yeah. Yes. And the trick was, there was never going to be a signal. She was never going to get it. It was just now a way to get Dan to pay attention. And,
and this was the first day of class, the first day of school 1 year. She was like, when they're feeling, and it wasn't like get them in line, it was like, when I feel like the kids are like kind of falling asleep, I'm going to cue you to do your jokes. And I was like, not all heroes have capes. I will do this for you. Absolutely. And I would like come in every day looking at her like, is this the day? And she's like, no, sit down and do science, you jerk.
Brilliant.
That's really smart.
That's a good technique.
You guys can use that.
No, I'm Jack, I'm pretty
keep
stupid.
That one in mind.
are there any like plots from the show that you want to see if...
No, but it's funny. We had in the season, the teacher sleeps in the school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's trying to hide it from everybody, and they can obviously tell because he looks so shitty when he's coming around. But again, we were like, this wouldn't probably ever really happen, but we'll just do it anyway.
Has there been a plot so far? I mean, it's such a fun show, so I might already know the answer. Has there been a plot that you thought way too ridiculous, you're not going to go there, so we could find out if actual teachers have done it?
Maria, your character spends a lot of times erasing dicks out of books. Is that a is that a constant struggle?
Yeah, there are a lot of genitalia written on papers. Or pornography or the swear words.
Luckily not in the elementary school realm.
Sure.
Oh, that's probably, yeah.
Just swastikas?
Yeah.
I found some like crude drawings of the chubby boy in class, like with the small dick, and I mean,
people.
I did find that.
That's
you
very
put it up
personal.
Like art in the apartment, the classroom apartment.
I mean, I took a picture of it, but I did destroy it. Yeah.
What's the most embarrassing thing you ever did in front of your class, or that your students ever caught you doing?
I don't know. Well, it involves like falling, like tripping and falling. Or, I mean, that's embarrassing when you're like in front of a whole class full of students and it's like knees, elbows, face.
Face plant.
That happened to me. And then, but it was really funny because this one kid, when that happened, he went, ha ha. And I, not even like a week later, he did the exact same thing. And you know what I did? Ha ha.
Did you?
Before, and everybody got it. Everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, before that laugh, though, when you fall like that, how do you regain your authority in the classroom? Like, how do you bounce back? Like, do you just immediately stand up and suspend someone at random?
Yeah, you like, have to, like, Gus, just kill one of the kids immediately. Right.
Kill the toughest kid.
I mean, they were all like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Well, and then another time, the stool that I sit on, one of the screws just on one leg had popped out. And so, like, I think the kids just saw this, like, slow, like, backwards sinking. You know, as I was going down, they were kind of like, what is she doing? And they were like, are you okay? And then I just kept, like, the whole class was kept giggling. And finally this kid was like, are you still laughing about when you fell off the stool? I was like, yes, that's hilarious. I ended up with this giant bruise on my leg. But, oh, my God, I was like... Which is how, because it was so slow-mo, like, they just disappeared. And...
This is why our schools need money.
I know.
You don't think the students, like, loosened the thing on you?
I don't.
See, that leads me to...
That's just mean.
That leads me to a question, though. How well-liked do you think you are by your students, and is that important to you? That they think you're cool, not even just like, I respect her teaching acumen.
It's not important to me anymore if they like me or not. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I have a pretty good relationship with my kids. But, I mean, I'm very dry and I'm very sarcastic. And, you know, I think most of them get it. Very low tolerance for bullshit. You know, like, stop. And they're okay. Like, they know. They're high school kids. They know when they're, like, being little jerks. So, yeah, it used to be, like, when I first started teaching, I think it was more important to me. Like, oh, I want them to like me, but now I'm like, I don't care if you like me. It's not my job. My job is to teach you music.
I would like to think that I'm well liked, despite letting my students sit in their pee pants. And I also keep thinking of all of these horrible students that this audience is going to be like, who is this? Like, why is she in front of our kids? My all-time favorite student. I think I gained a lot of respect one day from the other students, not necessarily from him. Again, effing second grade. We were walking back in from second grade. It was like a Friday afternoon. I was just done. I was beat. It was my probably second month into teaching ever. We were walking back in, and all of my students had to walk in hugs and bubbles so that they couldn't touch anyone or talk to anyone. Because that's a thing now.
Hugs and bubbles.
That's how I run the cracked offices as well. Yeah. So, hugs and bubbles.
Hugs and bubbles.
Yeah.
That's the thing now. And so my favorite student was at the end of the line, and they were walking back into the classroom, and I was just standing there in my hugs and bubbles because I didn't want to touch anyone or speak either. And just for some reason in my mind, I was like, this is it. Like, I got to do it. And here comes my favorite kid. And I just like...
tripped him.
People listening at home.
As slow as I could, stuck my foot out right as he was walking past. And this kid was a little cartoon character as is, and he just like ate it in front. Like, I hate. Like, I promise I am a good person. But again, going back to like, I gained a lot of respect from the fifth graders in the hall and the fourth graders in the hall. Like.
So it is prison rules. Like, you take a kid out, and then, like, everyone's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
she
like,
does not
oh,
fuck
don't
around.
Mess with Miss Blonde. Like,
Mrs.
Gonna...
Brown jumped out of a locker and was like, ha ha!
Ha ha, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and then I let him trip me in front of the whole class. I did an amazing pratfall, I would like to say. But... Ever
yeah, you're
since
a hero.
Then, somehow, like, just being on that, like, messing around level with my kids and, I guess, being willing to trip them in front of everyone allowed me to gain that level of respect. And here we are today telling my horrendous stories.
I actually am known as, like, a disciplinarian at the school. I
have, like, really?
Yeah.
Jack. Disbelieving Jack.
I don't know. I can turn it on and off. You know, so like at the school, I think that they're all scared of me. But I mean, I goof around a little, but they are mostly, yeah, they don't like me, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
No, I mean, not that they don't like me, but they're scared of me.
Well, you live there. You lived there for a while.
So. I did live there for a while, yeah.
What about the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you in front of your students? Or just nothing embarrassing
I've
happens because you're such a hard ass?
I've embarrassed myself in front of my kids, I'm pretty sure.
You just run a tight ship and...
Yeah. I mean, one time I was personally embarrassed because I was, like, let down. I let myself down because I was really mean to a kid by accident. I kind of...
You
think
drew that picture of that one kid, didn't you?
No, I told a kid to shut up, and I think it's actually really, really mean to tell someone who they trust you to shut up. Like, if you told your friend shut up, it would be mean, right? It was like in a mean voice, like, shut
do
up.
Do it for us. Let's hear it.
I don't know. No. You, have to misbehave. Okay. So
I was there that day, so I can say the kid was singing Amazing Grace. It was so rough.
The most beautiful voice. There's an episode of Those Who Can't from the first season that I really love where the superintendent comes to the school and is threatening to fire one of the teachers that day. And in that episode, Andrew's character is confined to a rascal that he rides around. I'm wondering if when you guys have the superintendent, do you just have like a, is it always a fear, a general fear of the superintendent, or do you feel like you're on good terms?
Or do you care? Are you even aware that the superintendent's there?
I mean, the district I teach is very nepotistic, so I do know because everybody was like a coworker and then an assistant principal and then a principal. I'm like, oh my God, now you're the superintendent. And honestly, I always am happy to have, you know, administration in my room because I feel like, come and see what we do. Come and see, please come into my room. I know that's not funny, but...
This isn't a job interview. We're
yeah,
in, no.
okay.
We're all impressed.
I would say my strengths are... my weakness is probably just, you know, my desire. Yeah, I care too much.
Just too much of a perfectionist. Mrs. Blonde, we haven't heard of your embarrassing thing, or have we?
Oh, I mean... being so hungover that I fell asleep on the desk while showing a movie. Like, what other stories do you need from me to just, like, shut
up? Actually, I think we have what we need. Officers.
I guess it's only it's embarrassing depending on what movie it was.
It was something that was available on Netflix at the time, so whatever was easy. I think it was Shrek, maybe.
That's a very educational film.
Yeah. Yeah.
I promise I'm good at my job.
Most or least clever attempt at cheating you guys have ever busted? Is that a thing that goes on?
We were going on a field trip and students needed a permission slip, and one boy just was not turning in his permission slip, and I kept asking him for it, and finally he like pulled it out of his backpack and it was just a crumpled mess, and he handed it to me, and I was looking down the permission slip, and for the student signature, mom, and like his handwriting. For the street address, it was like 4132Z.
And then camera place? Was it camera place? Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you know, like, I don't know if your mom did sign this. And he just was furious at me. He was like, well, of course my mom signed it. I was like, I don't think so, but we'll go with it.
I did that in fourth grade. I tried to forge a permission slip for a field trip, but I did it on a wooden door. Not only was I had fourth grader handwriting, but I did it on a wooden door, so it was like especially shitty, and then I still turned it in, and they're like, there's no way this is from your parents. And they called my parents, and I couldn't go on the field trip, so... Crime doesn't pay.
I forged so many permission slips in high school that I thought if my mom actually signed something, I would get in trouble. Be like, this is not her signature.
Yeah, I forged all my detention. Like, I had to get my detention slips signed, and I forged every single one. And I couldn't go on the Disneyland trip at the end of eighth grade because I had too many detentions. But I was a pass holder, so I didn't. I was like, you don't have to sign shit, mom. And then I just skateboarded the whole day, so that was cool.
It's about what I would have expected. Cool field trips.
I wanted to circle back to a question that Soren had. About teachers being way too invested in, like, the drama of the students.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something, were you, like, rooting for couples, or were you, I can't believe she's dating him, or had news of Soren's breakup made it to you guys as well? Or are you just not invested at all in the students', like, personal lives?
Not invested. Not invested in their relationships, not their personal lives, but no, I don't. We do definitely talk, like, in the lunchroom about, you know, oh, do you have this kid? Like, oh, I love that kid. Or, oh, do you have this kid? Oh, I fucking hate that kid. That definitely happens, but no. As far as, like, following their love lives, I don't have any interest in that at all.
We had to, at the parents' request, we had to break up a couple. Like, I mean, we had to try to keep them separated because they kept, like, you know, feeling on each other, you know, like, et cetera, et cetera. And the parents weren't comfortable with it, so I had to just constantly tell them to be in different rooms.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, break them up.
Yeah, like sabotage their rumor or something. Like 80s movie
style. That
would have
been the best way to do it. Like, yeah. But no, just physically separate them.
Okay.
Oh, I was just curious if you'd ever misplaced a kid on a field trip.
No.
I mean, they've all made it home.
Right.
We've had some close calls.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how teachers did field trips before cell phones. Like, we have the chaperone list, and I'm like, where's so-and-so? And, like, the chaperone is, like, desperately texting them.
Wait, because the kids are distracted by their phones, you're saying?
No, like, they've missed a check-in, or they're, you know, they're late for the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And I've threatened to leave.
Are smartphones allowed in the classroom? Probably not, right? Sorry, I'm just very old.
Some people, but not mine.
For the older kids, we sometimes let them dick around the phones, but... My organization, I guess, sucks. I don't know.
Do you guys ever worry about the students, like, seeing anything about you on, like, Facebook, or is that a concern?
Yeah, I'm private on all social media.
Yeah.
Because they found a coworker. And he's like, yeah, he's got nudes. Well, not nudes.
Nudes.
On Facebook, you know.
He's got like near nudes as a joke thing, and like he was a teacher at the time, and mm-hmm. it was like we had to all go private. It was a.
It's probably a good idea, anyways, right?
Yeah.
Audience, hello.
Hello. I know I look like a teacher, but I swear I'm not.
Okay. What's your name?
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
Hi.
I work for the city. Sorry.
Oh, cool.
So when I went on field trips as a child, I went on less fun field trips, not Disneyland, but things like the Museum of Tolerance. So I guess my question is, have you ever had a kid have a very inappropriate response to a very serious historical situation?
Yeah, I was curious about that. Even if it's not history, like the most inappropriate thing that like a kid ever said to you or in front of you.
Yeah, I have one, actually. It's not historical, but it's we were taking the kids to like behind the scenes at the Santa Anita racetrack. With horse races.
I want to awesome. Go to your school.
Dude, see somebody get shaken down.
It's a horse. They're horses. It's fine. What's
And there's a guy beating the fuck out of another guy with a bag of quarters.
Some guy tranquilizing a horse back there. All the horses are cribbing.
It was actually very educational. But
you teach them how to box a trifecta. Like all that shit. Now, looking for that one Rain Man kid who's going to get you the angle on all the horses.
Well, yeah, this is about an autistic child. I think. Anyways, we took him on the field trip, and we were like behind the, you know, we were at the stables or something. And I'll never, ever forget the question he asked to like the guide. He had like a terrible stutter, so it was like, can I just do it? He was like,
oh, no.
He was like, do horses die?
Oh my God.
And it was,
heartbreaking.
I had to stop the other kids from laughing. I was dying inside. Because it's tragically hilarious. But like, I had to be the, you know, one who was like, don't laugh. Like, let the guide answer the question.
Then you turn to the kid. What do you tell him? Do you just say, no, horses are the glue to our society? The glue of our society. Soren's funny. Was the stable master like, sure, you want to see one? Die?
I'll take it's backstage at the racetrack.
You want to see a dead body?
No, I mean, she was just like, yes, they do die like other living things. She just kept a straight face the best she could. But I, yeah, that was... Perfect question, for sure.
That's awesome.
They die, like you too will one day.
Sounds like they learned a lot of great life lessons about mortality. But that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Brian. One, thank you for being teachers, because teachers are awesome.
Oh, come on.
So... My question kind of has a relativity to it because my high school was featured in that movie Spotlight. So something that's awful in regular schools is like, oh, hey, at least Father So-and-so didn't diddle me. But the question is like, do you have any like staple in-class punishments? Like I had this one teacher who like if you like started to fall asleep, he'd chuck an eraser at your head. Do you have any kind of like in-class like quick little one-offs just to like get everyone in line?
Surprisingly, I don't. But
you make them pee their pants.
Yeah, I would make them pee their pants out of fear. I had an eighth grade teacher though, who if we were talking, he would walk over to us and he would take like if you were wearing shorts, he would just like run his tennis shoe down your leg as hard as he like. Yeah.
That was a
and
great
for like
gasp,
middle
the
school
audience.
Girls, like we didn't shave our legs and the boys kind of had a hairy like it. Fucking hurt. Like, yeah. So that I don't use that one. I might someday if I need to, but yeah.
I had an old coworker who was talking one time at a meeting like about, you know, teaching methods from an era gone, you know, way, way in the past, and like one of his teaching method books was like, draw a circle on the board and make the kid put their nose in the circle and stand at the front. Or and another one that was in there was like find out what makes this kid uncomfortable, and then like whisper it over them. Like when the kid's like being a jerk, you come up and you're like, I know you think you're being funny, but we all can see your acne all over your face.
Oh, shit.
It's like something really horrible like that.
I like that they trap you on the first day of school and they're like, we're going to hand out index cards, put your name, put down your homeroom teacher, biggest fear, what route you take to
greatest insecurity.
Self-conscious about.
Yeah. I like that question. That was a good one. Can I ask you guys what movie or show that has depicted teachers has come the closest to getting it right?
Those Who Can't. Come on.
For those listeners at home, that was the voice of all three teachers in unison. Yeah.
Please say Dangerous Minds. Please say Dangerous Minds.
Not close necessarily, but do you guys remember that Ryan Gosling movie, Have Nelson, where he's like,
yeah,
like
the heroin
crack? Yeah, like, yeah, he's.
Oh, man.
Not that that's close to it, but I, after that movie came out, I saw Ryan Gosling jogging downtown, and I had one of those moments where I was like, because what I wanted to say to him was like, oh my God, I'm a teacher, and I. But instead I just went. And he sort of like did the like, okay. So.
But that was like an inspiring movie
no,
to you? Or
no,
you just
it wasn't.
Wanted to be like, you were a teacher in a movie,
yeah,
and well, I'm a teacher.
Because well, I was thinking in my head, like, I just wanted to say I'm a teacher. You know, that movie was really brave and.
Can you think of.
No, there's no accurate depiction. I mean,
really?
We've all been to school, right? Like.
Yeah. Not all even the faculty? What you about just, like when Mr. Belding's brother agrees to take all the kids on a rafting trip and teaches them how to do CPR and then ends up going off with stewardesses and Mr. Belding has to tell all the kids that he's not going to take them after all?
Yeah, what about Dave Belding?
I think that was the question on everyone's mind.
I don't know.
I think your definition of boring and mine are different. Like living where you work and like getting drunk every night in the room next door to where you work is doesn't seem that boring to me, but.
But I kept that separate from my career.
Okay. Sure. Fair enough. Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Hey, what's up, everybody? I have a quick question. So we've kind of talked about like history teachers and like English teachers and the various like cliches and tropes associated with them. So specifically, can we talk about art teachers? Because I feel like 7th to 8th grade attracts a very specific personality type for like an art teacher. So I'm not sure if you guys have a lot of weird stories, but I certainly have a lot of weird stories of just the sort of zany, ethereal art teacher. Or is that a trope that I'm just creating on the spot right
yeah,
now?
Maybe. But tell us one of your stories.
Well, I mean, like my experience, like in 7th grade, we were doing art class that would teach you like watercolors and crap. One day, like, this woman, Mrs. Burns, who was our art teacher, walked in and just started talking about, like, being a soldier and, like, telling us not to go to war. And she just ranted for, like, an entire class period while we're supposed to learn about, like, watercolors.
Right.
About, like, not going to Nam.
Like, right.
We're like, great, I'm 12 and totally fine not going to Nam right now.
I mean, so I feel like, was she, like, on mushrooms or do you just know. Think that?
It was doobies.
Was she an actual war veteran?
I don't know. I think she was just, like, this. I don't know, she just wore shawls all the time. It was just kind of very, like, airy. She wanted to, like, sat us all down and, like, told us how to survive a school shooting if we were in one. And
sure, I feel like, because you said we were supposed to be learning about watercolors. Yeah. If I'm staring down the barrel of a syllabus that says watercolors for 3 hours or whatever, it's like, put water in the fucking thing and then paint the thing. I need to fill that time, so, like, don't go to war, and here's how to survive. That's a good teacher. That's not a trope that
it's
I've seen.
It's a well-rounded education.
Bonus knowledge.
I think doobies for sure. Right
on. Doobies? Doobage? Yeah.
Doobies.
Thanks.
The art teacher that we hired to work at the after school was just a like a Ren Faire. Wait, are you still there? Oh, you're there.
Oh, what's up? Sorry. Back.
I thought you guys were just letting me talk.
I don't know when's the appropriate time to exit, so.
Yeah, she was just like a Ren Faire, like horse woman, you know, like into horses, you know, yeah. Kind of person. You know, the horse women.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's a thing.
A Renfair horse woman? Like, she took care of the horses, or she
she's just
a horse?
Into horse. You know, like, people who are too into horses.
Oh, into horses. Yeah.
Like, they've got horse items, like, that kind of.
Welcome on this podcast whenever you want to be here. I find you endlessly fascinating. You're my favorite guest I've ever had in my life.
I feel like there is probably a trope that they do live up to frequently. I noticed throughout my high school and middle school experience that our teachers in general were much more lawless and kind of willing to let the kids do whatever they want. Yeah. Like they were willing to pretend in woodshop that that wooden bong you were trying to make was a birdhouse. And like, they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not going to work. So I've got no complaints. And also in art class, like when you make some with clay, your teachers were very, in those classes were always like, just make whatever you want, man. Make whatever you see. Whatever you see in your head, you put that down and you mold that with your hands. And there are no rules in those classes. I mean, you can make a giant, you can make that chalk middle finger in the yeah. middle of a middle school art class, and the teacher would be like, yeah, he's expressing himself. It's really cool.
They're really phoning at home on that one. They're like, oh, yeah, there's no wrong answers.
Right.
Because I don't want to grade anything.
Art teachers are the coolest, I think, is where we landed on that one.
I guess.
Do we have one more person?
No?
Two.
Oh, we have two.
Two.
Shit.
Hey, name's Casey, and in middle school, I was unabashedly a teacher's pet, and I found myself in these situations where teachers were asking me to play pranks on other teachers, where they'd be like, hey, why don't you go down to Mr. Weinbrenner's office and cut his fan cord, and things like that.
While it's plugged in.
Yeah, I know, right.
That's not a prank. That teacher was trying to kill you.
Oh. Wow. That makes so much more sense. Well, either way, my question is, if you have a kid who likes you enough, do you ever feel like, oh, he could become my henchman? Like, could you ever like want to have a kid do your bidding?
I'd do my own bidding. I'll do that now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's a great question. Yeah,
that is a good question.
Somebody
I feel like
a kid.
I've been used. I was kind of a teacher's pet-ish.
I see that.
Yeah. Oh, fuck you, man.
Teacher's pet-ish? But I mean, that's a brilliant thing to do if you're a teacher, to groom a kid into doing your work for you within the school and like representing a voice that you can't have. But the students, they can get away with saying whatever they want.
Right. Do dirt. Cool. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks, Casey.
Awesome. Do we have one more?
I was wondering, do you hate any of your coworkers? And what do they do that yeah. makes you mad? / like, what is the juicy drama amongst the teachers?
I can't believe we didn't ask that. That's such yeah. a good question.
This is why we have them come up, because we're bad at
are
our
are there,
jobs.
Like, goody-two-shoes teachers and, like, naughty teachers, and then, you know, which side?
All of the above.
I hate the teachers who are the ones who are like, I am the savior of all students. But again, I feel like I'm now reflecting on my own practice, and I'm like, well, clearly I would hate that because of where I'm at as a teacher.
I feel like we've learned a lot here today.
Mr. Goody Two Shoes has hardly tripped any kids.
Asshole.
Aren't you so good?
Or I think like in any job, the people who are always like categorically listing how hard they work as if nobody else, you know, works hard. Like just because you talk about it doesn't mean that you work harder than anybody else. Like those are the obnoxious people. But yeah, and the goody two shoes too, yes, the holier than thou. That's why you gotta trip a kid every once in a while. Remind yourself you're human.
Or tell them to go crawl in a bath with somebody else's fan. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Can I tell a story really fast?
Yes.
I have a friend, and I did get permission to tell this story, who had one of those just real, real troubled kids who, you know, defiant on every level and kind of did like the normal teacher thing. You know, when I tell you to do this and you don't do this, it causes all these things and blah, blah, blah. And the kid, you know, obviously had heard this. He was in high school, maybe a junior in high school or something. And, you know, his eyes kind of like glazed over. And because what happened is he came in and he had a Sprite bottle. And my friend was like, you can't have a Sprite bottle. You can't have Sprite in here. And the kid, he's like, you need to close it. And the kid just like opened it, like looked him in the eye, like chugged it. And then threw it in the trash can. That's when my friend was like, okay, out in the hall. And did the spiel and just glazed over. And he's like, okay, that's fine. You disrespect me. You're probably used to disrespecting your teachers. But, you know, one day, maybe you'll get pulled over by a cop and you'll disrespect the cop. And you know what he's going to do? He's gonna throw you in jail. And you know what? When you're getting fucked in the ass by your roommate, your cellmate, I want you to remember this conversation. The kid's eyes were like,
oh, shit.
saucers. And then a couple days later, you know, he's teaching class, and an administrator comes and he's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Oh, shit.
And he like goes out in the hall. He's like, can you, hey, you know, I've got this mom and a kid in the office. Can you kind of like recap what you told him? And so he like tells him everything. He's like, well, you know, I brought up the usual concerns about disrespect and this. And, you know, and the administrator's like, okay. Well, mom's in the office, and she's saying that you said that her son was going to get fucked in the ass. And he goes, and he is like, to his credit, he's like, yeah, I did say that. I did say that. And the administrator was like, okay. And he didn't get in trouble or any. I mean, I think it was sort of a combination of like them knowing he was a good teacher and them knowing that this kid was like a total shithead. But
sure,
I mean, I just, that story tickles me so much. And I really like, I think, I mean, I definitely have students that I'm like, probably in jail. But like, I'd like to think of like, you know, maybe that kid, maybe that is the one thing that later he's like, oh, now I know what that teacher meant. Like, now I know what he meant. But.
I want, a lot of time has passed and a lot of information has been dispensed. I want, just in case anyone has forgotten because of the drama of that story, the offense was a bottle of Sprite.
All right. That was a ton of fun. Thanks to Andrew Orvidal and Maria Thayer, who you can follow at The Orvidal, O-R-V-E-D-A-H-L, and Maria Thayer. Maria, spelled the way you would spell that, and then Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R, on Twitter, respectively, in case you thought it was the other way around. If you watched the show, Andrew is the hilarious lunatic health teacher. Maria is the hilariously bizarre librarian who is always having to erase dicks out of the books. And thanks once more to those who can't. You should be watching season 2 on True TV. All new episodes every Thursday at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Fucking Central time. When are you guys gonna get your shit together? The rest of us figured out how to get on the same page Central time. And that's gonna do it. How funny is it that Mrs. Blonde ended up being the sadistic one? That was so appropriate. I was worried that Mrs. Brown was going to die in a shootout with the cops and that Mr. Blue was going to, I guess, die in a shootout with the cops. I guess that's how basically everyone dies in that movie. Anyways, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to engineer Brett, who you can follow on Twitter at Brett, R-A-D-E-R. You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN. And we'll be back Monday with more podcasts. Talk to you then.